your recent book, The Hour of Land, you take a tour of about a dozen national parks in America. Why don't you just tell me what you took away from that journey?
I thought this would be a simple book. I thought it would be celebratory in honor of the anniversary of the National Park Service. It was anything but. I think for me, it was really mapping what colonialism is, realizing the people who have been left out of national parks, beginning with Native people. It wasn't until I really dug deeply that I saw how complicated it really is, and in many ways more beautiful as a result, that we are now telling deeper, broader, more expansive and inclusive stories of not just the identity of wild places, but the people who have inhabited those places over time.
Yeah, now that you've kind of gone on that journey and seen all these places, what do you feel is the most pressing issue facing our national parks and our public lands today?
One thing is overcrowding. You know, you can't even get into Zion National Park. It's so crowded, even at 4:30 in the morning. Grand Teton National Park feels like a suburb right now in high season. So, you know, are we loving our parks to death? There is such a desperate need to be outside. You know, it's a reservoir for our spirits. I think we need more national parks, not less. And right now, it's about money. It's about fossil fuel industry and the last gasps of a dying economy in the midst of climate change, and certainly extinction. It's becoming a perfect storm. And again, I think we have to rise as a people and say, these lands matter to us. You know, will we use restraint and prudence on behalf of future generations, or will we use it all up for ourselves at our own peril?
You said that that wilderness is a reservoir for our spirits. Will you tell me more about that?
You know, I'm living in Cambridge, Massachusetts right now, teaching at the Harvard Divinity School. It's a long way from the American West, and not many people here at this distinguished university know what public lands are, much less experience them. That's been a revelation to me. But in the midst of such noise, and you can't see the stars at night, and, you know, I strain to find a horizon line where I can watch the sun go down or come up, I just think I can't wait to get home, you know, to Castle Valley, to the Colorado Plateau, where I can watch the last light of day unobstructed, where I can hear coyotes howl with delight, where I know that, you know, flocks of pinion jays are going to come through and that there's enough stillness to hear the wing beats of ravens. That's what I mean by a reservoir for our spirits.
You know, in the midst of environmental crisis and climate change and extinction, is it hard to sit down at the computer and just start putting words on a page?
Every day. I guess for me, how to say this, I think we have to act. We have to create offerings, you know, each in our own way, each in our own time with the gifts that are ours. I write, and that's what I can do. And so I feel, you know, no one can do everything, and each of us can do something. I'm a storyteller, and I try to tell stories that bypass rhetoric and touch the heart. And I believe that when our hearts are activated, then we are activated in whatever way we can serve our communities.
Terry Tempest Williams, safe travels to Flagstaff, and thank you so much for speaking with me.
Thank you. It's been my great pleasure and privilege.